Shit.
So welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. We have Shit Show Haley, an OG Shit Show. Welcome.
Patreon. Mm-hmm. Patreon days.
Damn the join Patreon. Okay. So your first appearance was in December of 2023. So the big trigger that got you exploring, I guess, your adult childness was you were flying back from a Caribbean vacation. Mm-hmm. And you ran into your aunt, your dad's sister, who was a flight attendant at mm-hmm. the airport. And she was mm-hmm. super drunk. Mm-hmm. She could barely board the plane. Was she working on that flight, or she was?
No, thank God. She was at the airport because she had like attended a training, I guess, in that area. And so she was a passenger, not a, yeah, but anyway.
But yeah, that shook something for you to look at your family alcoholism. Mm-hmm. You were about to get married, which you thought mm-hmm. was something you never do. Your mom had pushed money on you around the wedding mm-hmm. And you were trying to set a boundary and refuse mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me about that. How did you end up handling that with the money in the wedding? Tell the backstory.
Yeah, so the money thing, we ended up kind of coming to a compromise where I kind of, because my whole background with money and especially surrounding my mom was that she always kind of put it across to us that we weren't doing okay money-wise when we were growing up. And both my older sister and I literally started working at the age of 12 because we thought that that's what we were supposed to do. Not really to necessarily contribute to like family funds necessarily, but it was more just kind of like, oh, we need to learn a work ethic and learn how to work type of thing.
Was that totally just a decision that you guys made on your own, or were your parents pushing you to get a job?
No, I think I must have kind of saw my older sister get the job and said, oh, that's what I need to do too. I can't really speak and say that my older sister necessarily said like, oh, I need a job. The first job that we had, it was through like family friends at this landscaping company. So it may have also just been kind of like, oh, we have jobs for 12-year-olds, you know? But yeah, from
we're hiring 12-year-olds.
Hiring 12-year-olds to pick weeds and water. But yeah, I have been working since the age of 12. And where my sister like spent a lot of her money, you know, I saved everything. And so when I was, I believe this was either late high school or like early college days, my mom had kind of said like, oh, like, you know, we need a new furnace and I really don't have enough like saved up, you know, I need to borrow some money from you type of thing. And so I did. I was kind of like, oh, of course, like, you know, my mom needs money, whatever. But then she goes, you know, flash forward to a few years ago when I was getting married, and she's just kind of like, I want to give you all of this big money, and you know, your father and I saved it up for you, and da, da, da. And it's kind of like, okay, well, why didn't you use a little bit of this for like the furnace when I was, you know, 18 years old? Like, you know, so it was just kind of, she's always very much tried to kind of like buy our love a little bit, you know. Christmases were always like so elaborate, birthdays, like so many unnecessary over the top gifts, and both my sisters seem to like it and be like, oh, this, like, this is great, whereas it made me so uncomfortable. And just, you know, my husband and I kind of prided ourselves of like, no, we want the kind of wedding that we want, and therefore we're gonna pay for all of it. And I was worried that if I kind of accepted the money that she would try to control more of the wedding itself, because we had a very small, you know, low-key wedding, and that's what we wanted. I didn't even want a wedding at all, just because I don't like attention on myself. But so basically what I ended up doing was I accepted about half of it, and I just kind of said again, like, thank you for this, but we're going to put this into savings. And I kind of talked through it with my husband, and I was like, honestly, I'm just going to put it into savings because she's doesn't seem super responsible with her money, and I worry that this just may end up going back to being used towards her.
One day.
Yeah, and you know, and she's getting older, and it's just kind of like I don't know. I just didn't feel comfortable accepting it, but I also didn't want to completely fight over it and completely lose the relationship with her. So boundaries are still a huge thing between us.
Yeah, where do things stand today?
It's slightly better, and I feel like I've tried to kind of use tools to try to set the boundaries a little bit more. So, like for example, if we go out to dinner with my mom, it's always she's always makes a big show and a big fight, and oh, can I pay for this and stuff? So we now will say, we are inviting you out to dinner, we are paying, like before it, you know, so just kind of like setting that. She still tries to fight and stuff, but it's like, nope, you've accepted this invitation. This is a invite to you type of thing. So I don't know. And it's just like I'm in my 30s. She doesn't have to pay for random shit, you know? It's just like she'll like if we're out together somewhere, she'll, oh, can I pay for that for you? Oh, can I buy that for you? It's like, no, nope. I have more money than you now. Like you definitely don't need to do that. So yeah.
How has she responded to your healing?
There's times when she's more, I think, frustrated with it than other times. And I feel like, yeah, since we last talked like 3 years ago, it's slowly gotten better. And I think that she's also just kind of starting to slowly realize, like, compared with my sisters too, like, oh, we're our own people and we have our own lives. And yes, she brought us up, but like, we also can make our own decisions and kind of have our own lives. So there was actually a situation recently. It was a little I guess like a month-ish ago, a month and a half ago, where I live in upstate New York. My little sister right now lives in Salem, Massachusetts, and so I went out there to dog sit for her while her and her husband went on
On one of
trips to
your
Europe.
one weekends that you had off in
Yes.
15 years.
Yep. 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 My one weekend of the whole summer that I have off. But I very much did that to myself, and that is something I need to work on and whatever. But anyway, so, but I also kind of saw it as like, oh, this is sort of a vacation for myself. Like I'm in an interesting town, whatever, I'll dog sit. But the way my schedule worked out, I couldn't do it the entire time. So my mom and I came up with this plan of like, oh, okay, I'll go out first, and then my mom will come out and we'll overlap a little bit to spend time together. And then she'll stay the last, it was only supposed to be like 2 more days before they got home, and I would have to go back home to work because she's retired. She doesn't work. So, but I forget what she had stuff going on the first bit of the week. But I'm about to like leave, you know, maybe like a couple days before, and she's like, oh, you know, change of plans. Like, can you stay until this date? Because I'm not going to come until, you know, the day that you have to leave now because my boyfriend is going to come out and help hang up shelves and curtains and stuff for your sister. I was just kind of like, all right. And at the time, I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, yeah, whatever. That's fine. I'm going to be there anyway. And then I realized I wanted to kind of leave a day before. And she was choosing to like not spend time with me and instead help my sister out with stuff that she could obviously like do herself. So, and my mom eventually realized that that was how I felt, and she ended up she apologized, and I felt good about how I reacted to that because I wasn't like, oh, it's fine, it's no big deal. I was kind of like, yeah, you did that. It is what it is now. Like, but so I don't know. I felt good because I wasn't saying like, oh no, it's fine, or like, oh no, I'm sorry, you know. So I felt like that was good.
A
But
win.
yeah, she's like, and she's mentioned a few things about I don't remember if I talked about this in our first session, but like shortly after my dad died, maybe a month or so, she went and told me that she wanted me to be adopted by this other family. And that's just been a huge, it's kind of framed my life of just like, oh, I'm unwanted and I'm, you know, useless and worthless, and like my mom doesn't even really want me. And through the years, she has completely denied that she ever
Ever
said
said
that.
that?
And then that's another thing that's kind of defined me is that, like, oh, is my reality even real, you know? So she did finally come out and say, like, I'm sorry that I did that. I was worried because apparently she'd went and like read my journal. And, you know, I'd kind of said things about, like, I'd like to have a family type of thing. And so in her mind at the time, she was thinking, like, oh, if she goes and gets adopted, she can get a family. But the way it came across was, no, yeah.
Weird.
Very weird, but she at least like acknowledged it, and that was big. It wasn't the best setting. She kind of did it like in the car as we were parking, you know. But I was like, all right, okay, all right. You're trying a
I'll take
little
it. Yeah, I'll take what I can
bit.
get. Okay, so let's talk about what's been coming up with work stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I guess, what is the process there been realizing that perhaps this isn't the healthiest, or just burning yourself short, or?
So I'm an ICU nurse, and it hasn't, I was trying to kind of reflect on this before we met, and it hasn't been any like
Big
really one
aha.
super specific, like, oh my God, you know, I think it's just been kind of
Gradual.
culminating. And I think I've gone through phases, you know, throughout my career, because I've been a nurse 11 years now, where the burnout has kind of waxed and waned a little bit.
Have you been an ICU
And
nurse the whole time?
for the most part, yes. I briefly was an ICU nurse educator, so kind of like a person on the unit that just kind of like onboards the new nurses and you know, continuing education for the nurses currently there. But that job ended up just being worse. But yeah, so I am at a hospital now that is more of like a community-based hospital. Previously, I always worked at like larger hospitals, and originally it was a great change. Like the people there are so much kinder. They're so like everybody kind of knows everybody. But with that also comes a little bit of like, you know, people talking about each other and people kind of, you know, just not always the most positive workplace. Sometimes it is very much, and you know, we get along well, and people are super helpful, I guess, when it comes to actual like patient care overall. But yeah, so with my job now, I actually dropped down to part time at the bedside because I was starting to get burnout and starting to realize, like, oh, I'd like a little bit of more flexibility. And so with that, I increased my workload of teaching because I teach BLS and ACLS. But because prior to that, when I was working full time at the bedside, I ended up working like 70, 80 hours a week because I was doing the teaching. And I joined so many committees because, again, this hospital is like, oh, like we're actually trying to make change. And I was excited about that. But now it's gotten to the point where I have like no routine. And I have, even though I am part time, I still have to work every other weekend. And then with that, you know, people ask for weekend switches all the time, or ask, you know, ask if weekends can be covered. And so yeah, I've worked every single weekend this summer except the two, one, and I visited my sisters both of those weekends. And I like barely see my husband. We're just like, 'cause he works, you know, during the week, and it's just and I just have no consistency, and I'm just over it. And I'm realizing that without a routine, I sometimes I don't end up like doing anything, and it's difficult for me to like even start my day. And I have especially like after I have worked like a bit of a stretch, I have such like burnout and just like decision fatigue because I'm making important decisions all day long that it's like I can't even like decide, like, oh, should I be doing laundry right now, or should I be doing the dishes right? And don't even mention like things for myself. They're just like on the back burner completely. And so yeah, so it has been good. So I have applied for a job that would be more of a It's still within the realm of nursing, but it's a more of a Monday through Friday type of job, and it wouldn't be like direct patient access. And yeah, just like with the burnout too, there's just like my community especially, there's so many patients with like psych issues and detoxing from alcohol, and it's I feel like it's been on the rise ever since COVID, which is like understandable, but those patients can be difficult and families can be so difficult. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like I was always of the mindset of like, well, someone has to do this and why shouldn't it be me? And it's like, no, I deserve to have a life that
Life.
I can function with.
It's interesting to think it's like what your nervous system, I guess, too, has always like known, sort of that chaos. And is it some sort of a way to avoid feeling?
1,000%, 1,000%. And just as a couple examples, so there was a situation, I don't know, a few weeks ago where I was just like sitting near my patient's rooms. It's basically like the two rooms kind of come together in a V, and I was just sitting there so I could see my two patients. And behind me was one of the ways to get into the unit, and there's like a window on that door. We're a locked unit, so we have to like make sure that like someone that's visiting is actually there to visit and not some rando. And sometimes patients have restricted visitation too. But anyway, this woman was banging on the door and screaming, and I go over and I'm like, "May I help you?" And she just starts screaming a name. It ended up being her husband's name, screaming it at me, and I just like went into such like a freeze response and just like a I felt so childish, like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. Like, I need to go find somewhere to hide and be safe. And just, and it was, and event, like, of course, I eventually like got through that and was able to help her, but she was just so horrible and rude and just like made me feel like a little child. And that stuck with me and freaked me out for days afterwards. And then like last week, I coded a woman, did compressions on her, like, went and got her family and explained to them what we were doing. And for that, I'm just kind of like, whatever, that's what I do. And that's so fucked up. So yeah, like I feel like my feelings are being pushed down again, and I'm ignoring them. And I feel like I was doing a much better job at that when I kind of first started delving into this. And like I mentioned at our last meeting, like I've basically defined it as I've had a relapse, because I'm just pushing it all down again and just not experiencing it.
Yeah, but in a situation like that, what the hell is even healthy,
I
right?
know, I
Because if it's
know.
like happening all the time.
Yeah. Even like the most like compassionate, like most wonderful people that I work with that are so empathetic and just so like so good, and so, like even they have to, and it's like, yeah, you kind of have to, and it's so fucked up. It really is, because we ha after I coded that woman, I just like went about my day and got, went to my other patient, gave him a bath, and like, got another patient. And it's just, you just kind of like go throughout the day, and it's just and that's just one example, just because it was recent. Like, this happens, things like this happen all the time. Like, yeah, we have more like normal-ish days, but it's yeah, so I don't know. And it's tough, because yeah, when I work, I kind of have to push it down and have to compartmentalize it. And in my personal life, I don't want to. I want to work. I want to work on myself and feel this stuff. And I feel like I have not been able to. I've been feeling just so stuck and like I can't do it. Yeah. So.
Traditionally, have you been somebody that's been able to actually enjoy downtime?
Traditionally, no. Traditionally, no. I keep myself very busy, and I keep my, I try to keep myself doing things. But lately, it's been more like, oh my God, I feel so just like frozen.
Functional freeze.
Yeah. Like yesterday, I had picked up actually like an overtime shift, but they didn't end up needing me. So what they do is they put you on call. And I was so fucked up the whole day because I was like, what if I get called in? What, like, I can't start any to do. So I was just like on my couch all day, just kind of like, all right, I did not do much. And then I go into a shame spiral because I'm like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit. I didn't do anything all day. And it's just, yeah. So I need a change, or I at least need to figure out how to function better on my days off. So
Yeah, I don't know. It
it
sounds like
sucks.
it's maybe a little bit too much.
No, I know.
All right, shit shows. Do you ever have those days where everything takes you three times longer than you thought it would? I'll be honest, I have those days multiple times a week. And so then 6 p.m. rolls around and I've checked off like half my to-do list, and going to the grocery store is one of those things I've yet to do. Now, this is usually the moment that my inner critic loves to come in to start shaming me about how irresponsible I am, how I can't get it together, what the hell's wrong with me. But then I remember I have Omaha steaks in the freezer, and the critic no longer has a dinner crisis to shame me over. Now, having Omaha steaks in the freezer is like having a trusted butcher in a gourmet food shop right in my house. And let's talk about the flavor of these steaks, okay? Because when I buy steak at the grocery store, unless I marinate them ahead of time, it usually comes out kind of flavorless. But with Omaha steaks, I don't have to do a damn thing. No marinating, no planning, no thinking ahead. It is flavorful all on its own. And there's also a nostalgic thing going on for me because my grandma, my dad's mom, she always gave us Omaha steaks every Christmas. And she was one of the few people that I felt truly unconditionally loved by. So there is a warmth to this that goes beyond just the way that they taste. Omaha steaks has been around for over 100 years. It is the same damn beef people have trusted in their kitchen for generations, shipped nationwide straight to your damn door, arriving frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal time and effort. I personally like to cook my steaks in the air fryer. So traditionally, I've been a ribeye gal, but let me tell you about what I most recently got. The Burger Perfection Flight. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. So you can try the Burger Perfection Flight at Omaha Steaks today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get 35% off with promo code BEEF. So that's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for 35% off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Do you have any idea of what might be there that you don't want to sit with? Like what maybe you're avoiding acknowledging or tapping into or feeling?
I don't, but I think I'm just afraid to find out. You know what I mean? So like if I maybe if I after this I sat and really thought, but I think I'm just afraid that if I am still, all of my just like horrible faulty beliefs about myself will just like come up rather than thinking better things. And there's a huge part of me thinks that just a huge piece of shit that doesn't deserve anything, and that comes up when I'm still, and it's like, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you achieving? And I think comparing myself to others has been a really big thing as well. And so I've kind of deleted all like social media and that sort of thing, just because I don't want to see all that. And
I think it's healthy.
yeah, so I guess just thinking that I'm a huge fuck up, but at the same time that's all in my head anyway, so it's like I think that sitting still is no matter what, it's gonna be
Be
there.
uncomfortable. Yeah, I guess it's also it's like the identity piece, right? Of like where you get where your sense of self comes from. And then I'm also wondering too, like with the committees and everything like that, what about like the fawning or, being afraid of disappointing people or feeling guilty when you stand up for yourself?
Yeah, that's huge. And yes, being afraid to say no is huge, especially in the workplace, because this is fucked up too, but I'm also of the mindset of like, oh, like I'm young and I don't have kids, so like I have no excuse to not do these things, So it's just like but that's not true. I can also just like fucking live my life and not work all the time. But a big thing that I've come to the realization of, like when I first like had read like the laundry list and all that. The one about fear of authority figures, I was like, oh, I don't have that. Like, that's not a problem. No, that is, I very much have that. Like, just getting up the courage to just like tell my bosses that I was applying for this new job. Oh my God, it took like so much. There was actually this has happened since I had last talked to you. There was a situation where the hospital was just like going crazy with patients and it was just like super busy. And so I was precepting a brand new nurse, and I get there and they're telling this new nurse that she has to separate from me and go and take care of patients on her own in the emergency department. And I was like, no. Like, this is not safe. This is not okay. And I'm very much into like doing things by the book and doing things by policies. And part of that is because, it is the right thing to do and it protects my license. But another part of that is like, oh, I need to be able to prove that I'm not wrong. And so I was able to kind of fight and keep her there with me. But then I, sent this email to my bosses, basically like attaching the policies and saying like, hey, we cannot float this person to, especially when she's not off of orientation, like this isn't, not okay, da da da. And in my mind at the time, again, just like so focused in on that and how it was wrong. And we were also up for like this regulatory survey thing. And I was thinking like, oh, I'm helping them by saying like this is wrong and they could get caught with this survey. They asked to talk to me about it, which I was like, oh, I never get follow-up on anything. I like my bosses a lot. I think they're very supportive. And I went in and they were kind of like, we felt like this was very like kind of attacking to us and like, and I just started crying. I was just like, and I was just like, I guess, I've never dealt with supportive people. I just assumed that you were trying to like, sabotage it. And they were like, oh, like that's so sad that you don't feel supported here. I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, the authority figures and the, feeling like I can't say no because why would I deserve to say no to things?
What about what is your relationship with having fun? Do you know how to do that?
Do I? I don't. The problem with me and fun, I think, is that I can have it, I can do it, but it's almost like I get burnt out from having fun too, like, which sounds so bizarre. But I went and saw my sister this weekend, and she has a boat on a lake, and we were out on the boat and swimming, and it was beautiful, and I was having fun. And then I get back home and I'm just like, oh fuck, like I'm never gonna have that. And it's like, it's almost like it's hard for me to.
What is that? I'm never going to have what? That on a regular basis or what? What specifically came up? That you're never going to have a boat? What is it?
I'm never gonna have a boat, but that's okay. It's too much work, too expensive. I think just that I'm never gonna have
A normal life?
fun, and that I'm never gonna have connection too, because I think that isolation feels so familiar to me too, that it's like, and like, yeah, I can have like some fun on my own, but it's like fun overall is better with people. And it's like, and yeah, I think I just I feel like it's never gonna kind of happen again. Like, when my two best college friends got married, I sobbed at the end of their wedding because I was like, this is the last time all of my college friends are gonna be together. And it was like, I was like a crazy person. It was like my like long-term husband had perished, It was like, so I can have fun. It's the after effect that I think is not
That's really
good.
interesting because that's rooted in something. Can you think of any experiences where something happened, like you had fun as a kid, and then in the aftermath?
I mean, Specifically, no, but I think just like, I think there were a lot of instances where it was just kind of like, oh, I'm having fun with friends or, doing something with friends. And it's like, oh, my dad's here to pick me up and he's drunk. And it's like the parents notice and they're like, oh, shit, like you shouldn't drive home with him. Like that happened a few times. Or like, like I, like I would ride horses like throughout my childhood, and one of the summer that my dad died, I got into this really bad like accident where I fell on my head, and like they thought I was gonna be paralyzed. I have like you can't really see them through Zoom, but I have a couple scars like on my neck and the corner of my mouth, but and yeah, so I don't know, just kind of like a slightly a near-death experience after having fun. And then, my dad died, and I like one of the first thoughts I had was more like, oh shoot, well, I guess I can't do like my horse show next week, which is like so fucked up. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. Not and we also would go. Every year we would go to we would do like a lake house, the same pretty much the same lake house each year. And there were times when we'd be having fun, it would feel like, oh, we're a family, this is great. And then my mom would like one time she left, just like left us in the middle of the night because a bat got in the cabin. And my dad like was laughing about it and like wasn't taking it serious to like catch it. My mom is like deathly afraid of bats, so she just like left us. And it was like I don't know. So I guess just kind of not a specific point, but it's just kind of something's gonna hit the fan almost,
Yeah, the good thing's always the setup for the bad thing coming,
Yeah.
which I
A
think is
little bit
so
of that.
common. Yeah. I also wonder too if it's like the lack of connection, like staying so busy also gives you an excuse to not, try to seek the connection that maybe you long for but don't trust or
Totally. Yeah. And I also think that if I do try to reach out to someone, I just kind of have the thought of like, but I'm a burden to them. Like they don't actually want to connect with me. Like, so whereas in reality, like, a lot of people do want to connect with me, and I have, had good relationships with people and have, helped people, and I'm a good listener, and like, but in my mind, I'm just like, no. I'm a burden. I'm bothering them. I'm not, worthy of spending time with them. So lots of fucked up thoughts in here.
No one can relate to that. No one listening right now. Yeah, well, it's gonna like you're gonna make a transition or like you're gonna be forced to have to slow down, right? Like when your body just like totally goes into shutdown mode or something.
Yeah. One, and that's another thing is that part of it is getting older, and part of it is just the nature of my job, but my body hurts so much more than it ever has. And it's like, I think
Feel
it's
that.
trying to tell me.
I always say hope or dream for the future, but like, what is something that you would want out of life?
Boy. That is a great question. And I think I'm still figuring that out because I think so much of me was also kind of rooted in the, oh, I'm gonna be a travel nurse and then I'm gonna be a nurse educator. And like both of those, I tried both of those things and they did not work out well. So I feel like I need to kind of not be so focused on like, that is
Work.
my identity. And it's like, no, it doesn't have to be. So I still need to kind of figure that out. I would love to travel more. And my husband lived in Spain for 10 years. So we've been seriously talking about like eventually retiring and moving for him back to Spain. And
When was the
I don't
last
know.
time you
Also
went on a
just,
real vacation?
so we went on a trip to Mexico for my husband's retirement trip. But prior to that, you know what? We haven't been on a vacation just the two of us together in a little bit. And I think that might be part of it too, is that like there's always like other people around, which is good sometimes, but then other times it's I don't know. Sometimes it's a lot of effort and people argue and it's like, ugh, I just want to be with my person for a little bit, you know?
Well, yeah, it's nice. A lot of people don't even have that, right? Where they actually would want to just spend time together. Well,
No, I'm so lucky in that, but
I think that this is really good. I think that some good changes are going to come.
And I'm hopeful for that. It has been sucking. It has been sucking a lot, but I realize that things need to get worse sometimes before, they get better again and need to,
Usually, that's how it's gone for me. Did you always want to be a nurse?
That's a funny thing too. I decided I wanted to be a nurse that summer that I got into that accident and that my dad died, because when I got to the accident, the ER nurses were so
Horrible.
like horrible and kept insisting that I needed to get a pregnancy test, even though I was 15 and had never even like kissed anyone.
I heard you have been working since 12.
I would have had to like pee laying down. It was like a whole thing. So I don't know. So I was like, oh, I could be better than them. And then when my dad died, it wasn't even a nurse, but I didn't know at the time. It was probably a social worker. She like came up to me because everyone around me was like crying and sobbing. And I'm just like there. And she's like, it's okay to cry. And I just, my little mindset was like, fuck you. I don't have to cry. I didn't say that, but it was, so yeah, I decided to become a nurse because of those two fucked up things. So, Before that, I always thought I wanted to be like a writer, an author. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something in that.
Yeah, do you ever write?
I used to, and I don't anymore, and I haven't, and that's something I would like to get back to.
All right, well, I'm really looking forward to our next update. Is there anything else that you wanted to share that you didn't have an opportunity to?
I don't think so. I just really appreciate you because I know I haven't
I really
been.
appreciate you for sticking around. You don't understand like how much it
Well,
means to me just to have people stay.
yeah, and that's the
It
thing,
really means
and
so much.
I know that not everybody, can financially, but I feel lucky in that I could still stay in your community even though I wasn't active, and it's I knew that you were there, you know what I mean? And so that's been that's just been nice. And yeah. And I need to get back to the mindset of, because the few meetings that I have kind of been in, I see people's hands go up and I'm just like, oh, I won't share it. No, they deserve to share more than me. And it's like, no, I belong too. It's
Yes.
okay. So, yeah.
Well, things
I
good.
appreciate it.
This was great.
Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Let it all go.